Yesterday we reflected on the famous parable of the Good Samaritan. Jesus said, go and do likewise. So go and be a good Samaritan. Today we get the also famous scripture passage, not a parable, but the story of the two sisters, Martha and Mary. Martha, who seems like she's being the Good Samaritan, and Mary, who's not doing anything, is sitting there. So it's a great compliment to yesterday's gospel. In fact, the readings today are a beautiful selection for us. We have the story of Martha and Mary, and then we have St. Paul talking about his experience of the shift from being a Martha to being an apostle. And then we have the saint today, St. Francis of Assisi. So we have a lot to ponder, maybe too much for me. Anyway, let's focus for a moment on Martha and Mary. The traditional interpretation is, of course, that Mary represents the contemplative life and Martha represents the active life, and better to be a Carmelite than to be a Salesian or something. That's how people interpreted it. You've got to be committed to serve the Lord. Well, you can do it Mary style or Martha style. Now, that was always a little bit limited and a little artificial, because what about the people who are not in consecrated life and who, you know, live in the world with their families and work in the world? Anyway, a more modern interpretation has tried to take the kind of feminist view and say, well, what Mary's doing here is she's breaking into new paradigms and establishing herself as a disciple, which was a position that only men could have. And that Martha's reaction to that is that Mary shouldn't be in that position because she's a woman. Well, perhaps there was something scandalous about that. And for sure, Jesus broke a lot of those sorts of cultural norms. But so perhaps there's something to it. But if you read the words of Martha, she doesn't say anything about the role of a woman. She's saying, I'm doing all the work, and she's not doing any of the work. I mean, that's, I think, easier for us to grasp, because that's what we would all think. And anyone who uses standard criteria of the world is, it's not fair for one person to do all the work and another not to do any of the work. I mean, come on. I think that's easy. You don't have to get into any other interpretations. Now, I'd like to expand that a little bit, because Pope Francis, as you know, has established the feast of Saint Martha as the feast of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. So it gives us an opportunity to look at the three siblings who are in this house. Lazarus, who's not even mentioned in this gospel. This is the first mention in the gospels of Martha and Mary, and Lazarus is nowhere to be seen. So, but if we think about it, he's probably working. I mean, he's probably on the farm or doing the family business or doing whatever you do to support the family, because that's what most people do most of the time. Most people are not sitting at Jesus' feet listening or serving Jesus with acts of hospitality. Most people are working, making a living. Now, this is, again, a little bit of a stretch, but let's just assume that Lazarus was out there working his fingers to the bone because Martha and Mary, he was supporting the family, his sisters. And it could also say, if you want to push it a little bit, maybe that's why Lazarus died early, because that's often what happens in hardworking, you know, in societies where the men do a lot of physical work, they die younger than the women. Men are stronger, but they're not as resilient, so they break down easily and they die younger. And Lazarus died. Now, we don't know why Lazarus died, but he died before Martha and Mary, and then Jesus brought him back. But just to broaden the picture of what's going on here, and to keep us from falling into the trap of saying one way of life or another way of life. Well, there's lots of ways of life. And the teaching of Jesus here is not that you should do this and not that. We know that that's not what Jesus is saying. He's saying there is one thing that is necessary, and that is listening to my word and putting it into practice. That's what we should do. And that's not just Martha's job, or Mary's job, or Martha's job. It's also Lazarus's job, and every one of us has to take this one thing necessary, this better thing That is listening to the word and putting it into practice. And that's what it means to be a disciple, no matter what we do. That's, I think, a better way to take this, so that it frees us from the judgment we could even put on ourselves for not being more contemplative, or the judgment we might put on ourselves for not using our time the right way. Because the question isn't what we think or what people think of us. What does God want us to do? What is His will? That's the one thing necessary. So some people, yes, are called to a more contemplative lifestyle. Typically single people can do that better than married people. But there's infinite variety. Some people are called to a very active lifestyle, including people in consecrated life. You look at, I don't know, Mother Teresa or somebody, or a Vincent de Paul or St. Francis Xavier. These people, I get tired just reading about them. They have so much energy to do so many things. Where do they get all that? I don't know. But they're not just being Marthas. They're being Mary and responding to what Jesus tells them to do. And that's why they're so phenomenally fruitful. Okay, so the one thing necessary is this spiritually sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to what God's will is, and then responding wholeheartedly to that. I think that's what we can take from this. And this is why St. Paul, when he talks about his conversion, where is that here? Oh yeah, he says, I was a super Jew. I was a super Pharisee. I was better than everybody else. I was a zealot, more a zealot for my ancestral traditions. So, don't talk to me, St. Paul is saying, don't talk to me about doing more. I was doing more than everybody. And yet, when I met Jesus, I realized that wasn't what made me a great person. In fact, I was becoming an arrogant, judgmental, I don't want to use any bad language, but I was becoming a bad person. And he says that was the truth. What changed was meeting Jesus Christ and following him. He went from being a Martha to being a Mary. And once he became a Mary, and it says he didn't go running off doing things all of a sudden. He didn't even go to Jerusalem. He didn't meet with the apostles. He went to Arabia, meaning he took a desert time experience. He pulled aside. He listened. Then when it was clear what God wanted him to do, although it was pretty clear from the beginning, he was called to be an apostle to the Gentiles. But what does that mean? So once it was clear, then that's what I'm going to do. I love what he says here, because the psalm picks up on this. After Paul saying, after he was, the most zealous of the zealots, but when he who from my mother's womb had set me apart and called me through his grace was pleased to reveal his son to me. So when he who knew me from my mother's womb, this is today's psalm, Psalm 139. O Lord, you have probed me and you know me. you formed me in my mother's womb. You're the one who knows me better than I know myself. You, my soul, you knew full well. All these reflections on our identity, which God knows better than we know, that becomes the basis for trusting in God and trusting in the will of God, because he's the one who knows us. He knows what we were created to do and be. He knows it. So it's not laziness or a misuse of time or selfishness to listen to this one who knows us and to discover what he had in mind when we were still in our mother's womb. This is what Paul says. Once he revealed himself to me, that changed the picture completely. Last point of reflection here is on St. Francis of Assisi, the great saint, the popular in every age, but seemingly more popular even now than in the past. St. Francis, who is kind of an icon of Christ. People look at him and they say, well, that's what a Christian is. He's like a Francis of Assisi. Now, so much so, even in his own lifetime, people wanted to be like him. So that's what his own brothers, the little brothers, and then the women who joined St. Clair and tried to be like St. Francis, and then the Third Order tried to, like, we can't leave our jobs and our families, but we can be like St. Francis, because St. Francis shows us what it means to be a Christian. Well, in modern times, you know, people like to use their own lens, their own filters to interpret St. Francis. So if you're a more left-leaning person, you say, well, Francis was a great environmentalist, a man who took care of God's creation, who respected God's plan for creation. So that's why we should be like St. Francis, because he is has a right understanding about the environment. If you're more right-leaning, you say, so St. Francis, I mean, he was, dedicated to poverty, and he was a real Catholic. I mean, he really loved the church. He loved the sacraments. He respected the priesthood, the Eucharist, and he had the stigmata. So therefore, that's why he's a saint. So you see two different ways of looking at St. Francis. They're both true, but neither one of them is exactly the heart of St. Francis. St. Francis was a follower of Jesus Christ, not because he loved the environment and not because he had the stigmata, but because he did the one thing necessary. He listened to what God said. God said, rebuild my church. He said, well, I'm going to do what God says. I don't know anything else. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. I don't know how to found a community. I don't know how to, change the church. I don't know how to save the world. All I can do is follow Jesus with abandonment. That's his great love of poverty. He didn't love poverty itself. He loved being free to do what he was called to do. So he said, I'm going to let go of everything else so that I can do the one thing necessary. And that's his real greatness. And that's why we honor him as a poor man, because his poverty, well, this is honor and poverty, to be available to God, to be dependent on God, to be wholehearted in following God. That's the great thing about poverty. Doesn't mean you only wear a brown, what did he wear? A brown piece of cloth all day long. Well, that was his way. But it's crazy to try to apply the practical circumstances of one person to another, because that's not the essential. The essential is the one thing necessary, the one thing needed, the one thing is to discover, to hear the will of God and to put it into practice. That's why Jesus says this to Martha, and he says it to us. We who are also called to conversion, we who are also formed in our mother's womb by the Lord with a clear plan in mind, with a great destiny in mind, well, that's what God wants, so that's what we should want. Guide me, Lord, along the everlasting way. Amen.